24th, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We are uniting as one to call down divine enlightenment over the earth and all life forms. So join us for 5 minutes or the full hour for this worldwide event online in the comfort of your own home. Tune in live to uprandtalkradio.com or the UFRO Paranormal Radio YouTube channel. Or you can go to our website and our forum site, worldenlightenment2021.org. That's worldenlightenment2021.org for more information on this World Enlightenment 2021 event on December 24th, 5 to 6 p.m. We are all coming together in harmony. So let light unite. Think Quantum Leap, World Enlightenment now.
Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Sean Kelly, host of the Pittsburgh Paranormal Into the Night show. So I wasn't on last week, and I definitely do want to apologize for that. I had a panic attack or anxiety attack, and there was no way I could go on because I wasn't in no mood or I wasn't in my right frame of mind to actually come across and talk to you. And so as I was sitting here waiting for the show come on, everyone's talking about mental illness nowadays, and I'm just going to wing this because it's coming right out of my mouth. But, that was my very, very first experience with a really, really bad anxiety attack. And it scared me. It really did. I now take an antidepressant, and I'm okay with that. I guess it's helped me out a little bit more, kind of calm me down a little bit. But for all the people out there who are experiencing mental illness, I feel for you, And I hope and I pray that y'all get help, since being in this business for in the paranormal field, and even being on the radio and getting to meet a lot of people, there's also the ASL community too. And they are loving and caring people. They're awesome people. In fact, I've done an investigation with three people who are deaf and mute and they use sign language. And what was very impressive about that was that they were actually signing, and the EVP or the K2 meter was responding to it. And so that, to me is like, it's like the spirits don't have to hear you. Okay, they don't have to hear you, because they can read your mind. Because when people do sign language, all right, that the thought is in their head. So it's like, okay, the ghost hears that, and then in return, it responds on the K2 meter. So I want to give a shout out to all my friends in the ASL community. Thank you for being my friend, So it just really, really makes me feel good to know that other people with different handicaps are actually doing ghost hunting. I believe that everybody should get a chance at going out and do some investigation. Do what you love to do. Okay. I'm also like the co-host of the last show, Chasing Prophecy. And we've been on for over a year now, me and Jenny, and now we got Jason and Trisha. In fact, Trisha is going to be a guest on my show next week, so it's going to be pretty interesting. But as we started the show, I started to get into, we had people on UFOs, aliens, Bigfoot, cryptids, stuff like that. And what was amazing, I've gotten to liking aliens, and I'm like, gotten to like in UFOs. But you know, just like in ghost hunting, okay, for me, I've seen ghosts, okay? I have dealt with ghosts. And so I don't knock what other people study or what they believe in, but having all these guests on my show about all the cryptids and UFOs, aliens, it's like, okay, the only way I'm actually going to believe that they truly exist is if an alien comes down and shakes my hand right in front of me, or the spaceship lands in my yard and I see little grays coming out of there. It's just great. Just learning all kinds of stuff. You know, I was mainly into ghost hunting. I was into angels. I was into demons and, you know, ghost hunting. Because when I started PPS, it was really weird. It seemed like every year that spirit put different people into my life. So I can learn like Wiccan, and I can learn about angels, and I can learn about demons, you know, and it's amazing how people were brought into my life. And as I learned from them, and I call them my teachers, it really helped me progress to where I am right now. And it's like I'm being taught all over again about, you know, the different stuff that are paranormal happenings. So as I continue on this journey that I'm on, I'm going to learn more. And there's nothing wrong with learning. You know, I can sit here and talk about all kinds of ghost stories. I can talk about all kinds of aliens and stuff like that, and whatever comes up on my mind, but my brain really, really wanders a lot. And so when I'm talking to you right now, you know, I really have nothing set in stone to talk about. I am going to tell you what's on my mind. And one of our shows on Chasing Prophecy, we talked about missing 411. And I really caught a interest in that. There's a good show called Missing 411, The Hunted, and it's on YouTube and you can watch it. And basically it's this guy that goes around and investigates people missing. And what amazed me was that the first two stories that in which he talked about, they came from New York. Out in the woods. I right now I don't know where in New York, but it was an old man. First one was an old guy, and he was out with seven or eight other buddies, you know, and they were hunting. And all this guy did, they spread out, and all this guy did was walk in into the woods and sat on a rock. Well, night came and they went back and they couldn't find him. There was no trace of him. They just could not find him. And they were really confused. And even to this day, they're confused because it is very possible, okay, that maybe he walked into a portal or he walked into a vortex of some sort, or he was nabbed by some ET extraterrestrials. Who knows what happened to him? But what amazes me is that how one minute you can be somewhere surrounded by your buddies, and the next minute you're gone. That's to me is like completely insane. So the question started going through my head was like, okay, why did they take him? Why did he walk into that vortex? Or why did the UFO come down and pick him up? No one knows. And I don't know. But to pick out one guy out of eight or nine, and there were some of his family, his kids were there, his boys, and they were a lot younger. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, if the aliens really wanted somebody, they would go after somebody young. You know, what does the old guy have? And it's crazy because there was no choice. they just snatched them up. Now, what's crazy about the second story, I forget, maybe a month later, there was a guy at his house. At his house, you know. His wife went out and he came back. She came back. He was gone. Nowhere to be found. And that was kind of a sad story because to me, I mean, you're in your own house. You figure that you're in your house and that's the most safest place for you to be. But to come out and come home and find that your husband's not there, I mean, that's not cool. And so a lot of the investigations, when they came, the FBI did get up there. And now you all know that when the FBI comes, then it's something very serious. So what does the government have that they're not telling us? Now, I'm not going to get into that mode. It's like 11:25 where I'm at right now, and I'm not really going to get into that. But what just amazes me is that they just keep everything quiet. I mean, and I read some stuff up on Area 51 that where some guy actually broke through the gate there, and they just came out and shot him dead. And it's just... When governments or when people hold secrets, it like drives you nuts because, I mean, with me, I'll tell you, because I had that anxiety attack last week. And again, I am very truly sorry I wasn't on last week. But when you see this stuff, it puts a lot of fear into people. And a lot of people that we talk to on our Chasing Prophecy show, you know, they say the same things. And yes, am I afraid? Me personally? Not really. And it's not that I'm a male and it's not because I'm egotistical, because I'm not. I'm pure humbleness, the way I look at it. What bothers me the most is that how, you know, it affects other people. Especially the ones that are really close to me, you know, and I just wish they would just finally have an answer. Now, someone did bring up at one time that if the government actually came out and said, oh, my God, we do have aliens and that we do have UFOs, then it's going to cause a worldwide panic. That I can see, you know, but to shoot somebody. Just because they cross into something, because they probably got fed up because they didn't know what was going on, and they just like walked through the, drove right through the fence, and then they shot him dead. How stupid is that? You know, not even a warning. They just got out and shoot him. And so back to the story up there on the missing 411 hunted. So I did a little research on that, on the day and the year that it happened to these two gentlemen up there. And come to find out, there was a lot of UFO activity that was happening in the area. And that was like, so when I read that and I started to look even deeper into it, it was like actually going down into a rabbit hole, to be honest with you. Research can be a pain in the butt. It really can. But is it possible that the UFOs did pick them up? Who knows? Nobody's going to know. Now, there was one interesting story on that missing 411. There was a very experienced hunter, and he was with two of his friends. And the one guy just walked off, and he was going to, I think, to a lake or to set up somewhere where he can go hunting at. And at night, his buddies, he never showed up, and his buddies went looking for him, and then they never could be found. And like a week or two later or whatever, I really don't know the details on it because it's been a while since I've seen it. They actually found that his boots, his socks, his backpack, and his gun, or no, it was a bow and arrow, I think it was, nicely set right in front, under a tree. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, what's up with this? What is it about us that they want? Is it aliens? Could be. I don't know. It's just very, very confusing. And, maybe one day we will get our answers. And maybe one day that alien will come down and he'll shake my hand. And maybe that same alien that comes from that spaceship that falls in my backyard. Yeah. And then we'll find out about it. Now, speaking of UFOs a little bit, I'm from Pennsylvania. And we have a little town called Kecksburg. And that was an interesting story. I think it was in the 50s. There was a UFO type of thingy that landed in Kecksburg. And everybody in the town saw it. And it was like a UFO. And there was drawings or writings on it. The hieroglyphics, whatever was written on that UFO. And so as I dug deeper, in the research, and I come to find out that Nazi Germany at the time, a little bit before that, was really heavy into the occult and really into paranormal things. And they actually had a Hitler actually built like a UFO type of thing. And you know what? A lot of people believe, because at the end of the war in Germany, they got this thing. The United States Air Force got it, I do believe. And they took it back, and I believe that they launched it from wherever, and it landed in Kecksburg. Because from what the story is saying, that, all these people witnessed this, a cop witnessed it, everything, everybody witnessed it. And then not like an hour later, they had the, the government, the army come in, set a barricade around the whole thing with soldiers with guns threatening to shoot people who come across that line. Now, why? Why? They say the United States is a free country. Yes, it is. And we have rights, but when it comes down to certain things, we don't. And there are times that when I read about these things, about the past and stuff that happened a long time ago, that you would think that they would tell us what was going on. My theory is they just don't. I know this is ridiculous, but. They realize that they just don't want us to know. And what are they hiding? I don't know what they're hiding. But if you look at it, right, when the first crash, UFO crashed over in Roswell, like 2 or 3 years later, the microwave came out. And then micro fishes came out, and all of a sudden, the United States military, they started to get these, fast planes and the way, different metals and the way the planes were rolling. And so I believe maybe, and this is my only opinion, I don't doubt at all, but it's my opinion that, the aliens in the United States, they have... they got something going on. They talk about underground bases. I truly believe that. Now I do. Who knows what's underneath there? All I hear is stories. And it's not just included in Roswell. It's like all over the United States. In fact, it's probably all over the world. Everybody remembers that radio show, War of the World. Look what happened to all the people that happened there. Oh, people just like freaked out.
because they really thought aliens were attacking. So to me, I can understand back then whenever they were having a radio show. But now, I think in the 21st century, you know, a lot of people read up on it, and a lot of people kind of know there are. Why not just tell us? What can it hurt? What can it hurt to tell us something? Why can't the world be a better place? Why can't the world just no more fighting? Let everybody get along. You know, learn from other countries. It's all about the power, but the power eventually, I guess it comes down to money. To me, money's just money. You know, you can buy as many yachts as you want. You can buy as many mansions as you want. You can buy whatever in the hell you want with money. But you know what? Money ain't everything. And maybe, you know, they talk about ends of times, you know, the apocalypse and all that. Maybe it's time. Maybe that story was written that maybe if all the negativity would go away, if something would come down, you know, and with the sword and just got rid of all the bad. And we started all over again, because, you know, ladies and gentlemen, right, that if something happened and the whole world got not blown up, but everything died on it, you know, the trees will grow again. You know, the plants will grow. You know, the water will come back running again, and life will start all over again. But for now, I don't want that to happen. I don't want the earth to go away. You know, I enjoy where I'm at right now. I just don't like the way people treat other people. And I know I'm going to get off subject here, but why can't we all be friends? Why do people have to have attitudes? Why do people have to, you know, go around and mock people? I don't give a damn about your $2 million house. I don't give a damn about your Maserati, whatever the hell you got. You know, you woke up, and however you got your money, maybe you busted your ass for it, and maybe it was just given to you on a silver spoon. Who knows, right? But all I know is that I work, and I pay my bills, and I do what I can. I do what I want to do, because I know for a fact that I'm not going to be on this earth. I don't know when, only God knows. I believe that. I also believe that was written even before we were born. But why do people have to be mean? Why can't we just have one day? That's all I'm asking. One day. One day. Everybody who's listening to me tonight, one day. Just be nice to somebody. Shake their hand. Tell them they look nice. Tell the women who got their hair done, my God, I love their hair. I love your haircut. Give them a compliment. I work in the supermarket. I'm a meat cutter and I deal with people all the time. And it's funny because I can actually see people who are having a bad day. You know, maybe their mother passed away. Maybe they lost their job. Maybe they don't have enough money to buy food, whatever. But when I can go up and make them smile, but just saying, hello, how are you? How can I help you? I mean, there were times, and you know, I'm not, you know, some, you know, knight in shining armor, but you know what? There were times that people didn't have enough money to buy food, which they need. I mean, and then I had no problem going up and paying for it, or I'd be in line, like in through a drive-through McDonald's, and I'd pay for the other people's coffee or whatever they ordered back then who were behind me. Why not? Why? And I figure I'll never see them. I'll never meet them. But I know in my heart that I did something good for them. And we all should experience it. No one should be angry at anybody. No one should be jealous. Jealousy sucks. It really does. You know, in the paranormal field, you know, there's not a lot of happiness between other groups. It's like that, you know, they have to outdo each other. And it's just not paranormal groups. It could be a baseball team. It could be, scientists and non-believers or whatever, you know, but they seem to have an ego. They seem to have an attitude. They don't need that freaking attitude. No. All they have to do is go up and say, hello. Hi, how are you? Or how can I help you today? How hard is that? How hard is it to come up to somebody and say, do you need help? Do you? Oh, it's not hard at all. And if they need help, fine, give them help. If they don't need help, that's okay too. But just acknowledge the person. You'll be surprised. You'll be so surprised how much people want to be acknowledged. You know, now, I mean, some of them might give you a crappy look or some might ignore you. But you know what? You planted that seed inside somebody. I know whenever I do investigations, we don't charge. We don't charge at all. And because I believe that, you know, God put this path on me to help people understand why spirits exist, demons exist, angels, whoever. And I don't ask for money. I will tell you this, though, I would be rich if I did, but I would be defeating the purpose because it's, I would be defeating the purpose of helping people, going into their homes and telling them what's going on. It's just like, give me money, 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 money. So what? No. We're not in this business for money. You know, if anybody wants to challenge me on that, fine, bring it on. But I believe helping somebody like you're there. And when people say, well, how can I pay you? How can I pay you? And the first thing I tell them, the very first thing I tell them is, give us a cup of coffee. Make us coffee or make us iced tea. Unsweetened because I can't do with sugar. If Russ is listening, he calls it shitty ass iced tea. I call it good iced tea. Good iced tea is tea that has no sugar in it. The other, they like sugar in theirs. I don't. But we done it, and that's how it works. You know, you got to keep, you know, the flow of the energy just going around and around and around and around. And when that does happen like that, you know, things move. People move. You know, different actions move. Whatever the action is, who knows? To this day, I still have problems. I'm trying to figure out how to buy a computer. You know, I got this Mac Pro book computer that is like old and I have no use for it no more. So I'm going to go find a new computer and I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what the hell I'm going to buy, but I need one because I need one for the shows. And I just, there's stuff that I want to do with it. You know, I learned when I started the radio show that if I put my mind to something, I can get it done. You know, and before that I didn't. I was lazy. I was really, really lazy. I'd have other people do it for me because I just didn't want to deal with it. You know, I figured, hey, I'm Sean Kelly, you know, and this is what, you know, you can do for me and blah, 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 blah. Nah. It took me a long time to realize that I had to work for what I needed, you know. Even when people would offer me to offer help to help me, I'd be like, nah, I'll figure it out on my own. If I desperately need help, then yeah, I will look for it. But I always put the effort in now to learn something. And yeah, I get frustrated. And yeah, I would want to sometimes throw the computer against the wall because I'm angry at it, you know. But eventually, if it takes a day, an hour, a day, 2 days, 3 days, a week, whatever, I get it figured. And I'm a happy camper and I can do whatever I want to do with it. You know, so you don't have to let other people help you all the time, and you have to learn how to grow. You really do. It's okay to ask for help, even though I didn't want to help. But before I did, let me rephrase that before I confuse you. Okay. A long time ago, I let other people do what I wanted them to do because, you know, they just do it. But when I started to, like I said before, and then I started to figure things on my own, you know, I wouldn't ask for help, but it was there if I needed it. So this might sound so confusing. So it's my show, so it's going to be confusing. You know, somebody needs help, ask, you know, give them a hand. You know, if they truly can't understand anything, what's going on in this, in their everyday life, go out and give them a hug. Or like I said before, to say hi. That goes a long way. That goes a long, long way when somebody's acknowledged. And we should be acknowledged even more, more and more every day. And then all of a sudden, you actually can see people smile. And when people smile, then there's no negativity around it, you know? I work in that supermarket, and I just see all these customers coming in, and they're not happy. They're mean. There's no reason to be mean. There isn't. So you make a little bit more money than I do. So what? This was taught to me a long time ago. Okay. As long as you wake up, you got a roof over your head, and you got food in your belly, what more do you need? What more do you need? That you're alive. No matter how hard it gets in life, where you're like King Midas, where everything turns to gold, well, in my case, everything didn't turn. Everything would break. But, you know, it just came down to have faith. I mean, I'd go days and days and days without nothing working. Nothing working at all. But I managed to stay sober. I do have, I don't know if I told you all, but I have 30 years of recovery without drinking alcohol, 32 years without a drug. And those are some, you know, everyone said, wow, look at all that time. Look at all the time you've been sober. But I tell you what, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy at all. I had those bad days where everything went wrong. But you know what I had? I had faith. I had faith in God and in my higher power at the time. Now I call him God. But I realized something during my recovery, that I would play poker with God. Yes, I'd wake up and play poker with God. Nothing else seemed to work, you know, so I would play poker with God. So God would deal five cards. I'd be sitting with four kings in my hand. And I figure, ha ha, I got you now, God. I got you now. So I laid my cards down, and I had four kings. And he laid his hands down, and he had four aces. So he won. And my day was miserable. It was terrible. I would have the worst days in my life. And getting sober, I mean, they were bad. Everything I touched broke. It was bad because I laid my hand down first. And after about a month and a half, 2 months of doing that, I finally realized, well, you know what, dumbass? You know, if you hold on to your hand before you go to bed at night, and when you're about to go to sleep, then put your five cards down. And, you know, I did that. I started to do that. So I always had the four kings, and I know he always had the four aces. But you know what? I held on to my cards and I let him, you know, run my day that day, you know, because I had to have faith in him. Like, believe it or not, I had faith in that he would have like four queens, but that never happened. He always had four aces. And so I would lay down my hand that night before I went to bed and I'd lose. But you know what? I was going to sleep that night. So I couldn't do no harm to nobody, or I couldn't do harm to me. And that, so I just, not even to this day, after 30 years, I still play poker with God every now and then. You know, it's not peaches and cream. And anybody that, you know, is in recovery, they do understand it takes one day at a time. And you know what? Sometimes 1 hour at a time. 1 second at a time. But once you have your faith, when you have faith in something that you truly believe that's going to help you, you know, maintain a sober life or a drug-free life, whatever disease that you have, as long as you have something in your life, you know, trust it and believe in it, because, you know, it will get you to where you want to be. You know, every day I wake up, I always say I'm one drink away from getting being drunk again. And that's true. That is definitely true. So I do have other vices, but, you know, nothing bad. But I'm okay with it. I'm okay with my life today. I know it's getting pretty close for me closing up, signing off tonight. And I really didn't have that much. I just, like, my brain scatters. You know, and I just talk on what's on my mind right now. And if I could have made one person smile tonight, and then I guess I did my job. So honestly, tomorrow, everybody who's listening, or everybody who's going to listen to this show, just be nice to somebody. Smile. If you smile at them, it's going to go a long way, and you're going to see. And it's not so much that person that you smile at that's going to feel good, but you're going to feel good about yourself because you did something nice for somebody. Yeah. And it's not hard. It's not hard at all. So next week, we're going to have Trish Moe on. She is another co-host of Chasing Prophecy. And I'm going to be interested in what she has to say. She's very intelligent. She knows her stuff. And I think it's going to, in fact, I know it's going to be a good show. I don't think. I know it's going to be a show next, good show next week. And then with Chasing Prophecy, you know, Jenny Nicasio, you know, one day she just called me up or sent me a message and she said, do you want to do a radio show? And I said, sure. And to where I'm at right now with the radio business, with the podcast business, I owe it all to her. Because she got me where I'm at right now. She's a good teacher. She's a good host, too. You know, she's a good girl. Then there's Jason, the other co-host of mine. He's in my group. He's my techie. You know, and he brings a lot to the show, too. And he's like my brother. You know, he calls me Pap. You know, I'm still debating or rather going by Pap or Sean. But hey, if you have an idea, Pap, Sean, put it down in the comments and get it back to me and we'll see what happens. You know, maybe I'll make it Pap. I don't know. But all I know is that it is 11:53 and I'm going to be signing off here shortly. So, everybody, thank you for listening to my show. Remember, we're on UPRN Talk Radio, 105.3 New Orleans. And I hope you enjoyed the show today. So take care, and I will definitely see you tomorrow. Bye. No, I'm still on until Joe gets on again, I guess. So how was everybody's day today? Mine was okay. I'm alive. And Joe, if you're listening, you know, it's time to go. But I don't know. I guess we can still keep talking about something. But I'm just like lost with words right now. heck, let me get them. And you know what? Tomorrow is going to be a good day. Tomorrow will be. I got, hopefully I wake up and then I go to work and then I come home and then I got the next 2 days off. And I'm definitely going to the mountains. And I'm going to do, just get away from it all and then just re-energize myself. I wish I knew how to do this so I would shut off. Joe, are you listening? Joe, are you listening, buddy? I don't know. I send him a message. Okay, I just send him a message. We'll see what happens. So October 16th, we got a investigation coming up. We're doing a private residence over here in Pittsburgh, and I'm looking forward to that. The house is definitely haunted. We were supposed to do it back in July, but everybody